Hi, it's Paul Slackus. Good news, Planet. Good news broadcast. I'm speaking to Linda Seeger. Hi, Linda. How are you?
I am really good. We live in the mountains. The mountains is always good.
Wow. Which mountains do you live in?
In Rocky Mountains, just west of Colorado Springs.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. I didn't know that. Well, why don't we go to the Garden of the Gods and let's do this interview over there?
That's 5 minutes away from me.
Well, you know, a quick little story. But, you know, actually, and I think Jesus might have been there. Jesus rode a donkey. Why millions of Christians are Democrats. But that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Linda's book. But I want to at least say that when I was on public television, Channel 13, the Nature series, the original, the first day of the Nature series, which is still on 30 years almost, or more, I guess. I don't know. And in any case, when I went cross country, my wife and I stopped at the Garden of the Gods. And I said, what is this? Where are we? And it was the most gorgeous place. And I wanted to start the Nature series with the Garden of the Gods as the background. Yosemite won out, but you're living in a beautiful country.
Yes, yes. It just nurtures us every day.
Are you from there?
No, I'm from northern Wisconsin, a really little town near the Michigan border, Upper Peninsula, Michigan.
Okay, so this was you had cold weather there also, right?
Yes, but this was my dream since I was 13. It took me many, many years to get this dream of living in the mountains in Colorado.
Wow, are you as high as Pike's Peak?
No, we're at 7,300.
Uh-huh.
So in Pike's Peak is about 14,000 plus.
Yeah, I don't know about Pike's Peak.
We're halfway up.
So you can breathe halfway. You can breathe halfway.
Yes, the breathing is definitely different here. It took us quite a while to adapt.
Uh-huh. But you did.
Yes.
And it's all good. So let's talk about your book. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And it has, I had this title here, Jesus Rode a Donkey, Why Millions of Christians Are Democrats. I'm also an interfaith minister, Reverend Paul, but I'm very Jewish. But I never rode a donkey. Did you ever ride a donkey?
I actually drove a donkey once in a donkey cart. And if you look at the back of the book, you will see me with the donkey. My photo is not the usual professional headshot. It's actually me holding a donkey, but not riding one.
All right. I don't have the book in front of me right now.
Yes.
But I have a lot of information about you. But you have more information about you than I have information about you. So tell us about the book.
Well, the book is what I would call the voice of the Christian Democrat. One of the things we often think of is we think that all Christians are Republican and all Christians are evangelical, and we don't think about what we call the progressive Christian, who is very much thinking of social justice issues, for instance. So I felt there needed to be that voice. And that's what this book is about. I look at issues such as immigration or the environment or war and peace. I take the really big issues, abortion, homosexuality, you name it, big issues. And I look at them from the viewpoint of scripture and of Christian theology and also of experience in my other reading. So I did loads of research for this book.
Wow. Okay. So I grew up next to Marymount College, which is a Catholic school, and I grew up with nuns, and in the whole thing, but I was a nice Jewish boy. I was an altar boy one time when they were hard up for an altar boy, but in any case, but I learned when in the seminary, but there's like 140 different sects of Christianity, different beliefs in Christianity. So Christianity really has taken on, just like every religion, that, you know, everybody believes that has so much Judaism in them, has so much, Islam, Muslim in them. You know, everybody's a religion, I believe, of and to themselves. What do you think about that?
Yes, well, I grew up Lutheran, and I have a long history of ancestors who were ministers and theologians and missionaries in the Lutheran Church, but I had a very open-minded mother, and when I hit that age, late college age, and I went off to college and I thought, well, I sort of inherited my religion. Maybe what I could do is take a look at everything. And I actually went through 6 months of searching where I just said, I'm going to be an agnostic for 6 months and who knows where I will end up. So I ended up back in Christianity. And then I started church looking and I ended up as a Quaker in 1970. I've found my spiritual home with Quakers and I'm a member of the Colorado Springs Friends meeting. We usually have 12 to 15 people and we meet on Zoom at this point, which is interesting because Quakers have a silent meeting and people speak if they feel moved by the Spirit to speak. So we sometimes sit there in silence where we are all on Zoom and it's very quiet. And at the end, then we, you know, do some prayers or we talk about, you know, how we're doing, our joys and sorrows, etc. So we are connected with each other, but it's not quite the same as singing the hymns and hearing the sermon.
Beautiful. That's magnificent. And let's go to the book. So what will people learn from your book?
Well, they'll probably have some stereotypes broken. And one of the things, for instance, let's just take the immigration chapter. It's called Welcome the Stranger, because I made a lot of discoveries in working on this book. The Bible keeps talking over and over again about welcoming the stranger, the refugee, the immigrant, the poor and the needy. In fact, the Bible says the poor and the needy, widows and orphans. And they say this about 1,000 times in 1,000 different ways. The prophets talk about it. Jesus talks about it. And so there is this real clear message that we are to care about the stranger who is sometimes called the other, or the person who is different than us. There is a saying that says, nothing human is foreign to me, or nothing foreign is human to me. And we are to learn that nothing human is foreign to us, that we embrace all kinds of people. And one doesn't always know the policy that might come out, but if you start with compassion, and if you start with what the Bible tells us, which is welcome the stranger, you're going to go in any number of directions in policy, but it's always going to be, we welcome the stranger. Doesn't mean open borders, it just means that's where you start. And then you start talking about the politics. So they will learn that. I talk in the War and Peace chapter about what's called the just war theory, which says, you know, you can't just go out and shoot and start a war, and the just peace theory, which comes partly out of the Mennonites, and about how do you create peace, not just how do you decide when to go to war. So I really look at these issues from many different ways of looking at them. And I have a lot of representation. I mean, Pope Francis is quoted in there. He's really strong on the environment. I have the Mennonites, I have the Quakers, I tried to really look at what a lot of different churches say. And actually, in some years ago, the early 2000s, there was what was called from the evangelicals a call to civic responsibility. And it was a call for evangelicals to become more concerned about social issues such as refugees and war and poor, you know, etc. So I think they probably have their mind expanded, whoever they are, whether Democrat or Republican.
Wow. Speak on the GBLT, XYZ, QRST.
Yes, LGBTQ, yes. So,
what's the thought there?
Well, the first thing I did was I looked at the Bible in terms of what does the Bible really say about homosexuality? Because the sense is that Christianity is against it and that we must change them or reject them, or who knows how we're to, you know, lots of different attitudes about dealing with them. What I found was that there's fewer than 10 verses in the Bible. Now you have to compare that with over 1,000 verses on let's help the oppressed and the needy and the marginalized. And of those 10 verses, most of them are actually about an unequal power structure. So in biblical times, you had the wealthy men taking advantage of young boys, or young boys taking advantage of the rich older man and trying to get into his will. So there's only one verse I could find that clearly was against homosexuality. And it was from the what's called the Mosaic Codes, or the Holiness Codes of 3000 BC. And those are the codes that tell us, do not carry wood on the Sabbath, and women don't wear men's clothes, and we don't follow hardly anything in there. And that was when the Israelites were moving into Canaan, and they really needed to populate. Not good to have gay people if you're trying to populate a new country. So you kind of have to, you know, look, really take this apart and say what's really said here. And then I think it's very important. We need to meet people. In order to make these decisions, we also need to meet people who are gay, find out their stories. And gay and transgender and lesbian, etc. It's also interesting, there are no verses about lesbian in the Bible. There's one verse that people interpret it, but when you look carefully at it, it's not clear that it's really about lesbians.
Okay, I'm all about, we're all homo sapiens. And
yes.
And we go from there. We're all brothers and sisters, however we got here. I work on that. I also work on, this is from the moon. This is the famous blue marble, famous photograph of Mother Earth, where there's no boundaries and no borders, and there's no colors of skin, and so on and so forth. So, I'm a John Lennonist. So, we're all in it together, and it's cool, and everybody has their respectfulness to themselves and towards others. And it's all beautiful, right?
And here's one other thing, Paul, I found really interesting. I think when it comes to welcoming the other, the person different than us, that we all have stopping places. And a lot of people would say, well, I'm not racist and I don't have any problem with African Americans, but I really have trouble with, and fill in the blank. And I think it's interesting when we hit the stopping place and saying, I'm having trouble engaging with that person who is different than me, and perhaps I'm judgmental. So I call it the stopping, that place where we have to get over it. And in 2016, when I wrote the last edition, I realized my stopping place was transgender. I had never met a transgender person. And when you first meet a transgender person, you know, the voice and the look, and there's kind of this, I had a moment of cognitive dissonance, and I didn't know how to engage. And I did what I would do when I meet different than me, I pull back rather than go forward. So in 2016, I said, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want stopping places. I don't care if they're Martians and they're green. I don't want a stopping place between me and another. And so instead of pulling back, I started engaging. And I would deliberately go out, maybe I'd introduce myself, maybe I'd say, I love your talk, or, just kind of get to talking. And I felt it was a real privilege to go through that process, saying, I'm going to get over my barriers and my boundaries, and I'm going to work on it. And, of course, that's what's going on, you know, now in our social structure, is people are trying to find a way to get past. What's my fences? How do I break down my fences?
Well, some people say Om Shanti Om, meaning we're all one, and that's all good. I actually was the co-captain of the track team in junior high school with the most famous, I will say, probably transgender Bruce Jenner.
Yes.
So I always say that because Bruce, cool dude. I love him. We did track together, and there was never any kind of showing of a different kind of a being or whatever. And I probably wouldn't have cared then, and I don't care now. I'm happy for him. And in fact, I saw him on television. He was on one of those comedy channels, and he took a roasting. And so, you know, which actually made me feel even happier for him. You know, he said he believes in himself and herself. And I always personally have been saying, our men, our women. And so it's just, we're all in it together. There's one gene difference, I think, to make a man and make a woman, something, you know, scientific like that. So you did a beautiful job with this. You know, I read through all the materials they gave me, and I want to congratulate you. And you have a website that people can go to?
Yes, they could actually go to JesusRodeADonkey.com, or they can go to my personal one, LindaSeger.com, S-E-G-E-R, think of Bob Seger, to get the spelling right. And that will have the same information as the Jesus Rode a Donkey website. So they will find out all sorts of interesting things.
You're there. Such a pleasant woman. You have such a nice vibe and aura and inner, outer kind of thought and way of being. So this is very special. So
yes. Well, and you do too, Paul. It's been a real
character.
Wonderful for me too.
Yeah, well, great. I'm happy. Last quick question. We're involved with the International Day of Peace. So that's my desire is to promote the strengthening of the message of the United Nations, whether anybody believes in it or doesn't believe in the United Nations. Is not the issue. The issue is peace, world peace. On September 21st, 193 countries raised their hand and said, we'll acknowledge the International Day of Peace, which is supposedly a global truce and hug and love and be kind to each other. So I asked many people, what does peace mean to them? So Linda, what does peace mean to you?
Well, it starts inside, I think, is to try to calm that frenetic, competitive, the other, you know, those other people. And I think we have to work on it. We start there, but then we start moving out into bigger and bigger concentric circles, saying, how do I embrace? And if I got a stopping point, how do I get past it? That I'm really accepting that. And also I believe in education about peace, conflict resolution, learning more about that.
I think a guy named Gandhi said something like that too.
Yes.
Non-violent conflict resolution.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Great job.
Thank you, Paul. Okay.
Bye-bye.